Whatever Jesus did is an act of God's generosity. God gave Jesus, and then Jesus gave healing. Jesus gave salvation. Jesus gave forgiveness. Jesus gave deliverance. Jesus gave food to the hungry. Jesus gave clothes to the naked. Jesus cast out demons. He raised the dead. He comforted the widows. He strengthened the weak. He fed the hungry. He surrounded people that were hurting with his healing hand. And everyone he touched was healed. And everyone that touched him would be healed. This is how generous God is. There's enough for everybody. He never runs out. The Bible says his goodness and his mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. The outrageous generosity of God. I just couldn't come up with a better word. There probably are better words. Unfathomable, unmeasurable. Like, I'm sure there's more words that you can come up with to describe the generosity of God, but my word for today is the outrageous generosity of God. It's like almost too good to be true. It's outrageous. It's that, like, somebody tells you something that you can hardly believe, and you're like, that's outrageous. This is how generous God is. It's the outrageous generosity of God. The outrageous, the extravagant, the miraculous, the supernatural, the unexplainable, the unfathomable, the immeasurable generosity of God. You come up with any words you want, and God's generosity is even greater than that. It's greater than that. Now, I want you to see in this verse in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 6, many seek the favor of a generous man, and everyone is a friend to a man who gives gifts. One translation says, everyone wants to be the friend of him that gives good gifts. Everyone wants to be a friend, the friend of him that gives good gifts. Now, let's make sure we know who the Bible is talking about here, because he says everyone wants to seek the favor of a generous man. What kind of man? A generous man. And everyone wants to be the friend to him that gives gifts, or that gives good gifts. I just want to make sure we're talking about the same person here. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, he says it this way: if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who's in heaven give what is good? Give what is good. Give what is good to those who ask him. If you, being evil, if you fathers, we all have screwed up. We've all messed up. All of us are imperfect. If you fathers know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? How much more will your heavenly Father give what is good to those who ask him? To those who ask him. You know who those are who will ask him? Those who believe in his outrageous generosity. You'll never ask God for something if you don't believe he's generous. You'll never ask boldly if you don't believe in this outrageous generosity of God. Now, this scripture back in Proverbs chapter 19, it just blew my mind, and I realized, wow, this is the problem in the world today, is that so much of the preaching that goes on in churches and so much of the preaching that goes on by preachers is a distorted view of God. It's a distorted view of God because, listen, the Bible here says that everyone wants to be the friend of him who gives gifts. Now, we just found out who this is talking about. This is talking about our Heavenly Father, because if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give what is good to those who ask him? This is talking about God. Everyone wants to be the friend. Have you ever wondered why are some of my relatives so stubborn and they haven't come to Jesus yet? Why are some of the people at work, you're just rejecting Jesus, and they're not ready to worship God, they're not ready to walk with God? Let me tell you something, because they haven't discovered how generous God is yet. Because once you realize how generous he is, the scripture is true. The Bible says everyone wants to be a friend to him that gives gifts. In other words, when you realize how generous God is, you're going to want to be his friend. And he's okay with that, because he doesn't want you to have any other view of him, because any other view, your view of a stingy God is a wrong concept of God. Your view of a judgmental God is a wrong view of God. Your view of a God who you got to earn his love and acceptance and his gifts from is a wrong view of God. Let me tell you what the right view of God is. He is outrageously generous. He is overtaken by how much he wants to give you, that he has loved us so much that we've even forgotten how to read John 3:16. We've all heard that verse a million times, but we forgot how to read it. God so loved. How did he love? He loved in such a way that he gave his only begotten son. At the time, it's his only son, Jesus. God proves his generosity by giving us Jesus, and in him, he's given us everything. Whatever Jesus did is an act of God's generosity. God gave Jesus, and then Jesus gave healing. Jesus gave salvation. Jesus gave forgiveness. Jesus gave deliverance. Jesus gave food to the hungry. Jesus gave clothes to the naked. Jesus cast out demons. He raised the dead. He comforted the widows. He strengthened the weak. He fed the hungry. He surrounded people that were hurting with his healing hand, and everyone he touched was healed, and everyone that touched him would be healed. This is how generous God is. There's enough for everybody. He never runs out. The Bible says his goodness and his mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. All the days. Let me tell you something about the goodness of God. The goodness of God is best described as generosity, the generosity of God. If you're looking for what's the best description of the goodness of God, it's the generosity of God. How can you prove it? You can prove it with John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave. You can prove it with Psalm 23, verse 6. Goodness and mercy will follow you all the days, all the days, all the days. I'm so glad he didn't say some days. When I'm having a tough day, that's included in all my days. When I'm having a day where I don't know what to do, that's included in all the days of my life. When I'm having a good day, that's included in all the days of my life. A bad day, that's included in all the days of my life. A day when I'm on top of the mountain, that's included in all the days of my life. The day where I'm in the bottom of the valley, that's included in all the days of my life. The day that I fall and stumble badly, that's included in all the days of my life. The day that I'm running and not growing weary and walking and not fainting, that's included in all the days of my life. The day that I mount up with wings as eagles, that's included in all the days of my life. But the day when I can't even find my feathers, that's included in all the days of my life. In the days where I can't find my shoes to run and not grow weary, that's included in all the days of my life. In the days I don't know where I'm going to go, where I'm going to get it from, how I'm going to do it, that's included in all the days of my life. And so let me tell you something about how generous God is. He makes sure that he supplies all that you need every day of your life. He's so generous. The greatest enemy of the church is bad preaching, not the devil. The devil's defeated. The greatest enemy of the church is a wrong concept of God, a distorted view of God, a mixed view of God, that sometimes God's going to really be good to you, and sometimes, you know, he's going to hold back because he's trying to teach you. That's not included in all the days of my life. Him holding back is not a part of that verse. He who did not withhold his own son, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? He freely gives us all things. Let me explain something to you, gang. The goodness, the outrageous generosity of God is the foundation for everything in our lives. The outrageous generosity of God needs to be the foundation for everything in your life. Let me give you some things that this outrageous generosity is the foundation of. Number one, the outrageous generosity of God is the foundation of our faith. It is the foundation of our faith. In other words, you couldn't even get saved until you realize how generous God was by sending Jesus. As soon as you realized, as soon as you believed John 3:16, you got saved. As soon as you believed, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. As soon as you believed that, you were saved. What did you believe? What was the foundation of your faith? The outrageous generosity of God. He didn't give us just any old person to save us. He gave us Jesus. He gave us himself. He gave us the best. When Jesus turned the water into wine, they were blown away, not just because of the miracle of the multiplication. Well, he turned it water. He transformed water into wine. But not only was there so much, but it was the best wine. So when the person that ran the party tasted the wine, he said, wow. Well, when they tasted the wine, they said, wow, they saved the best for last. The best. Jesus gives us the best. The generosity of God is number one, the foundation of our faith. You see, a distorted view of God is you better grovel and you better beg and you better hit your knees if you're ever going to see the goodness of God. But we learned last week, Peter saw the goodness of God and then he hit his knees. Peter saw the goodness of God while he was a sinner, and that brought him to his knees. Jesus didn't say, get on your knees and pray, boy, and then I'll give you some goodness. Jesus gave his goodness, and it led Peter to repentance. It's outrageous generosity. How many fish did Peter need that day? Really? Not many. He caught nothing all night, so just a handful would have been a blessing. But what did Jesus give him? Two boatloads, and neither boat could hold them all in, and both boats began to sink. That, my friends, is outrageous generosity. My God, have we been lied to? You are sitting here right now probably hearing this verse for the first time in your life, that God, you probably read it before, but you probably for the first time hearing it being told to you in how it's really meant to be, that this is the nature of God. This is how outrageously generous he is. He doesn't want you to live in misery. He doesn't want to give you things so that you'll fall on your knees and finally, you know, give honor to the God that deserves it. You will do that, but he wants to richly supply you with all things, not so he can use you as an example. He wants to richly supply you with all things, not so you can then make sure to serve him. He doesn't want to richly supply you with all things so that you can just make sure to, you know, give it all away and test your heart. He wants to supply you with all things for you to enjoy. For you to enjoy. Man, we've got so many Christians in the world today. They've got no joy, and they don't know how to enjoy all the things that God gives. He, first of all, richly supplies. It comes from him, and he supplies you with all things, and he wants you to enjoy them. He doesn't supply you with all things so you'll be miserable. He supplies you with all things so that you can have joy, or so that you can enjoy. Like, look, we gotta stop guilt shaming people who are enjoying their life. And we're shaming ourselves into sacrificial living because we think that's pleasing to God. And what pleases God is for you to receive all that he paid so dearly in his own blood so that you could be redeemed from the curse of poverty, of sin, of sickness, of disease. All of that is the curse. And Jesus redeemed us so that we could be forgiven, saved, healed, blessed coming in and blessed going out. He richly supplied. Did the devil, let's go back to 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. It says, God, put your hope in God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. So who is the author of enjoyment? Is enjoying life the devil's idea or God's idea? Is supplying you what you need the devil's idea or God's idea? And how does God supply? He richly supplies us with all things. Let me ask you something. Does all things include healing? Do all things include peace? Do all things include joy? Do all things include blessings? Do all things include paid bills? Do all things include healthy relationships, happy homes, good businesses? All things include all things. See, what am I trying to do? I'm trying to get you to understand the outrageous generosity of God, because then you'll go boldly to him and you won't be ashamed to ask. You won't be ashamed to receive. You won't be ashamed to give. You won't be ashamed to share. You won't be afraid to share. You won't be afraid to reach out. You won't be afraid to help somebody, because you know he richly supplies. I'm not talking to you about some worldly obsession with things. I'm talking about being obsessed, heavenly obsessed, with what your heavenly Father is really like. Do you get that? I'm telling you, I'm not saying this Christian life is all about getting all these things. No, I'm telling you, this Christian life is all about knowing how good and generous and loving your Heavenly Father is, and then that becomes the foundation. If God is a miserable, stingy miser, what would motivate me to try to bring other people into his kingdom of misery? I'm probably, first of all, not going to be in it myself. And I'm not going to be motivated to help anybody else have a relationship with a miserable God that is going to make your life miserable. Because I'm going to tell you something. Everything Jesus did, every person he came in contact with, he made their life better. He never made anybody worse. He only made their life better. His generosity is the foundation for a bitter-free life. It is the foundation for a bitter-free life. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, do not come short of the grace of God. Now, so that no root of bitterness will spring up and cause trouble and defile many. Notice what he says. He says, a root of bitterness enters when we come short of the grace of God. Now, this word short is literally translated as the word inferior. So what he literally is telling us is, do not accept an inferior life to the grace of God. Don't accept a life that is less than the grace of God. Don't accept a life that is less than his unmerited favor and love. Don't accept a life that's inferior to his generosity. Grace is God, G-R-A-C-E, an acronym for that is God's riches at Christ's expense. He says, don't let anyone fall short or live a life that is inferior to God's generosity. Because when you think that God, when you don't realize how generous he is, when somebody takes something from you or somebody hurts you, you'll get bitter. But when you know how generous God is, somebody can take something from you and you know God will restore. And you know how he restores? He's so good and he's so outrageously generous, he doesn't restore just what was taken from you. He restores sevenfold. And he doesn't just restore things sevenfold, Proverbs 6:31. He doesn't just restore things, he restores years. Joel chapter 2, verse 25. He doesn't just restore things and years and people. He restores hearts. Luke 4, 18 and 19. He restores years. He restores people. The prodigal son, he talks about the son was restored. The coin was restored. The sheep was restored. He's the restorer of our soul. He guides us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. My God. He's so outrageously generous when you get a hold. See, if you are like, oh, don't talk too much about that. We don't want people expecting too much. We don't want people expecting too much when Ephesians 3:20 says that he will do exceeding abundantly above and beyond all that you can ask or think. Are you kidding me?
Well, God's greatest characteristic is his generosity. God so loved that he gave, right? That's how generous God is. Generosity, the generosity of God is the foundation of our faith. It's the foundation of our lifestyle. It's the foundation for a bitter-free life. The generosity of God is the foundation for our spiritual warfare as well. So look, the greatest enemy of the church, the greatest enemy of Christians, and your greatest enemy is not the devil. Your greatest enemy is a wrong concept of God, a distorted view of who he is and how good he is and how generous he is. The goodness of God is best described as the generosity of God. I love Ephesians 3:20. God can do anything that you know far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams, it says. That's the generosity of God. Now, I'm going to pray that there be a breakthrough of God's generosity and goodness in your life, like a avalanche of God's goodness and generosity in your life. But before I do, I want to just first thank you for joining me today. Thank you for watching this program. It's my pleasure and honor to share God's word with you each week, though we only have a few moments together. But I want to take our relationship beyond just this program. So if you want to connect with me on a deeper level and you want to experience God's generosity like never before, listen to the important message by my announcer, and I will be right back to pray for your avalanche of God's generosity to show up in your life. Watch this.
Pastor Dick Howe wants to send you today's teaching in its entirety. For your gift of $25 or more, Gregory Dick Howe wants to send you his brand new 2-CD series, The Outrageous Generosity of God. In this brand new series, God's outrageous generosity will change the way you live your life. You will learn that his outrageous generosity is the foundation of three things. Number one, it's the foundation of faith. We can't even be saved until we believe that God generously gave us his son. Number two, it's the foundation of our generosity. Now that we know our Father has given us the kingdom, we can freely give. Number three, it's the foundation for a bitter-free life. You don't have to accept a life that is less than unmerited favor and love. If you're tired of the daily struggle of never having enough and you're ready to embrace the outrageous generosity of God, please call or go online right now. For your gift of $50 or more, you will get The Outrageous Generosity of God. And as a special bonus for calling right now, we'll include Greg Redickow's 4-CD series, Your Number One Weapon for Winning Every Battle. As a bonus, for your gift of $150 or more, Pastor Greg Redickow will also include a signed copy of his best-selling book, So Loved. That's right. This entire collection is available to you with a gift of $150 or more to the ministry today. Your gift will help us reach our goal to see 13 million lives engaged, transformed, or saved. Please don't wait. Please pick up the phone and call the number on your screen or go to gregredickow.tv. Your gift will make a big difference. Thank you for your support.
Well, I want to encourage you and inspire you to do something in the next moment or two that will change people's lives for eternity. You see, our love is best expressed when we give the gospel of Jesus Christ to others. And with your gift today, I'm able to continue reaching lost and hurting people around the world. And in fact, more people than ever before with your friendship, with your partnership, with your gifts. And I thank you in advance. Now, let me pray for you because we're believing for an avalanche of God's generosity to show up in your life and a snowball to just keep getting bigger and bigger. Heavenly Father, I thank you for a breakthrough of goodness and generosity in each person's life watching right now. Give them hope and confidence in your goodness, in your generosity. Lord, open their eyes to see how there is more for them than those against them. Open their eyes to see you've laid up every blessing in heavenly places for each person watching. And we call those blessings forth as an avalanche into the lives of each person watching. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thanks so much, and let me know your good testimony and good report. And I don't want you to miss next week. I'm going to be giving you the weapons to silence the voice of the enemy, to silence the accuser once and for all. Maybe you can have a watch party with some of your friends. And don't forget to connect with me on Facebook or Instagram. I am there, and I'll do my very best to respond to each and every person that reaches out. And don't miss our next broadcast. Remember to set your DVR. So you never have to miss one of them. I can't wait to see you then. God bless.